Returning back to the book of Joshua, and tonight we're going to cover two chapters, and there's a reason for that. There is a great deal of detail in chapter 15, and what we need to recognize is that the same God who is a mighty warrior is also a very careful accountant. He's able to distribute the land very specifically. So what we need to see here when we read this chapter is the fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham in Genesis 12 in very specific terms. But there's more for us. We also need to recognize that we see names that we recognize. Caleb, who was the one who wanted to go in the land, even though the people looked like giants. And Judah. When you see all of the land that's given to the tribe of Judah, you see how important Judah is in the history of redemption. Chapter 15. So think about that as we read. Think about that and look for the names that you recognize. My dog only knows certain words. But when he hears them, his ears perk up. He can't understand everything that people say, but he understands certain words. Those words are designed for you, that you might understand them. And listen to all of them, because this is the very word of God. These are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of two tribes and a half tribe on the other side Jordan, but unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee at Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon my feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And yet, as I am strong this day, as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. This then was the lot of the tribe of the children of Judah by their families, even to the border of Edom, the wilderness of Zin, southward was the uttermost part of the south coast. And their south border was from the shore of the salt sea, from the bay that looketh southward. And it went out to the south side to Malak, Akrabim, and passed along to Zin, and ascended up on the south side unto Kadesh Barnea, and passed along to Hezron, and came up to Adar, and fetched a compass to Karkaam. From thence it passed toward Azmon, and came out unto the river of Egypt, and the goings out of that coast were at the sea. This shall be your south coast. And the east border was the salt sea, even unto the end of Jordan. And their border was in the north in the north quarter was from the Bay of the Sea at the uttermost part of Jordan. And the border went up to Beth Hogla and passed along the north of Beth Araba. And the border went up to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben. And the border went up toward Debir from the valley of Achor and so northward, looking toward Gilgal, that is, before the going up to Adummim, which is on the south side of the river, and the border passed towards the waters of En-Shemesh, and the goings out thereof were at En-Rogel. And the border went up from the valley of the son of Hinnom unto the south side of the Jebusite, the same is Jerusalem. And the border went up to the top of the mountain that lieth before the valley of Hinnom westward, which is at the end of the valley of the giants northward. And the border was drawn from the top of the hill unto the fountain of the water of Naphtoah, and came to the cities of Mount Ephron. And the border was drawn to Baalah, which is the Kirjath-Jearim. And the border compassed from Baalah westward unto Mount Seir, and passed along unto the side of Mount Jearim, which is at Kesalon, on the north side, and came to Beth Shemesh, and passed on to Timnah. And the border went out unto the side of Ekron northward, and the border was drawn to Shikron, and passed along to Mount Baalah, and went out unto Jabneel, and the goings out of the border were at the sea. And the west border was to the great sea, and the coast thereof. This is the coast of the children of Judah, round about according to their families. And unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sefer. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksah, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksah, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass that as she came unto him, what she moved him to ask of her father a field, that she moved him to ask of her father a field, and she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, what wouldest thou? Who answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland, give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah, according to their families. And the uttermost cities of the tribe of the children of Judah were toward the coast of Edom, southward, were Kabzeel and Eder and Jagir, and Cana and Dimona and Adaba, and Kadesh and Hazor and Ithnan, Ziph and Talim and Bealoth and Hazor, Hadada and Kirioth and Hezron, which is Hazor, Amman and Shema and Molada and Hazar Gada and Heshmon and Beth Palet and Hazar Shuol and Beersheba and Biz Jotha, Baalath and Im and Azim and El Tolad and Kisil and Horma and Ziklag and Madmana and Sansana and Labaoth and Shalim and Ain and Rimon. All the cities are 29 with their villages. And in the valley, Eshtaol and Zoria and Ashna and Zanoah and En-Ganim, Tapaua and Enam, Jarmuth and Adulam, Soko and Azekah, and Sharim and Adithaim and Gederah and Gederothaim, 14 cities with their villages, Zanan and Hadash and Migdal Gad and Dalyan and Mizpah and Jokthiel, Lachish and Bazkath and Eglon and Kaban and Laman and Kithlish and Gederoth, Beth Dagon and Nama and Makedah, 16 cities with their villages, Libna and Ether and Eshan and Jiphthah and Ashna and Nezib and Keilah and Aksib and Marishah, 9 cities with their villages, Ekron with her towns and her villages, from Ekron even unto the sea, all that lay near Ashdod with their villages, Ashdod with her towns and her villages, Gaza with her towns and their villages, unto the river of Egypt and the great sea and the border thereof, and then mountains, Shamir and Jatir and Soko and Dana and Kirjath Sana, which is Debir, and Anad and Esh, Temal and Anim and Goshen and Holon and Gilo, 11 cities with their villages, Ereb and Duma and Eshein and Janum and Beth Tapua and Akfaka and Humta and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron and Zior, 9 cities with their villages, Maon, Carmel and Ziph and Juta and Jezreel and Jaktiim and Jaktiam and Zenoa, Cain, Gibeah and Timnah, 10 cities with their villages, Halhul, Beth Zor and Gedur and Ma'aroth and Beth Anath and Eltekan, 6 cities with their villages, Kirjath Baal, which is Kirjath Jarim and Rabbah, 2 cities with their villages. In the wilderness, Beth Araba, Medim, and Sekeah, and Nishban, and the city of Salt, and En Gedi, 6 cities with their villages. As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day. The precious word of the living and the true God. A lot of times we get used to the idea that people have certain gifts, but they don't have other gifts. So some people are really good at battle, but they're not good administrators. Some people are very good at details. Some people are good at the big picture. But we see in this way in which the land is distributed that Joshua and Caleb were actually given both types of gifts in significant ways. This is a fulfillment of the promise given to Abraham, but it's God himself who has these gifts, all of them. He is a warrior and an administrator. He is one who promised, gave the big picture long ago to Abraham, and now specifically lays out the regions where people are going to live in the land. God is the one who has all of these abilities at the same time. And he distributes them to people. He distributes them to the people who are fighting in the land. He distributes the land according to different tribes. But God is the one who has the wisdom to do all of that. At the same time, he is a fierce warrior. And what we can learn as we look at a chapter like chapter 15, and we learn from all of this detail how God distributed the land, is that the same one who knows all of the hairs on your head, who cares for you, is causing these promises to be fulfilled. That's an important thing to remember. God is aware of where you are in the world. He's aware of the way in which your body is dealing with aging or physical struggles. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows how your white blood cells work. He knows more about you than your doctor does. He knows more about you than your mother does. He knows you through and through. And this is the warrior, the one who's giving us the land. The one who's giving the land, at this time in redemptive history, to these particular people. We know, we've covered this before, that this is a picture of the new heavens and the new earth, this promised land. But it's also designed for us to learn from history. As we start this chapter, we find out that in chapter 14, that there's a priest involved. Eleazar the priest. This was how it was arranged from the very beginning. This is a spiritual work. It's not just simply detail about we're going to distribute the land now and here's where the landmarks are going to be. There's a priest involved. This is spiritual activity. The people are going to grow up on this land. They're going to raise their covenant children on this land. This is a place that is set apart by God. It is a place that is supposed to be a place where people grow in holiness, And so there's a priest involved. And he distributes by lot. That's an important thing. When it's distributed by lot, you know that God is the one who orchestrates the lot. You know that God is the one who causes the lot to fall out. And you cannot point around and say, that person had a grudge against me, and so I'm not getting my portion of the inheritance properly. It's distributed by lot, orchestrated by the living God. So he's able to orchestrate even that. He's able to cause the lot to be a means by which the promise given to Abraham is fulfilled, specifically tribe by tribe. Just think about that for a minute. The many levels on which God is operating in the conquest of the land. It's astounding. Moses had given the inheritance, verse 3 tells us, two and a half tribes on the other side of Jordan, and we covered that in the last chapter. But unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. So we're learning about the Levites. This is a continuation of what we already saw in the previous chapter, that the Levites had their inheritance that was going to be the Lord himself. We're going to learn more about the Levites in chapter 21, but we learn here that the Levites are involved in this process. And then Manasseh and Ephraim, we're going to see them again. They gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. And this is all the fulfillment of something that the Lord commanded Moses. This is how they divided the land. It had already been worked out long before in the Word of God, in what was given to Moses. It was all established. So God is not only this one who knows the details, not only one who can win battles, but he's also one who's able to plan well ahead of time, specifically, for everything to work out. He's a great organizer. All of this teaches us about the God whom we worship and whom we serve. And he's already shown us many of the aspects of his character and how he does things. But then we come to this incredible moment where the children of Judah come to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb is speaking to him at Gilgal, a very significant place. For those two, Joshua and Caleb, if you remember, were the two that went into the land and said, we can surely take it, Numbers 13 and 14. They were the ones who were used by God to show the people of God that they could have this land. And lo and behold, there they are, and the land is already being distributed. God uses people. He doesn't only distribute land. He doesn't only beat enemies. He doesn't only organize things by tribes. He uses people. And the way that he uses Caleb is important for us to consider. The way that the living God uses Caleb. Caleb speaks to Joshua in chapter, verse 6, and says, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee at Kadesh Barnea. He was 40 years old, verse 7 tells us, when he was sent to spy out the land. And now, Caleb is 85. And he says in verse 11 that he's as strong today for battle as he was then. 85 years old. How is it that Caleb is as strong in battle at 85 years old as he was when he was at 40? Well, we find out. We find out in the course of these verses. He says that when he went into the land at age 40 in verse 8, that those people who went up with him discouraged the people of God. He literally says that they made their hearts melt. My brother. But he said, I wholly follow the Lord my God. Caleb is one who, with his whole being, his whole heart, follows the Lord. That's an important thing. Because it's the means by which God has brought about this great accomplishment of the promise given to Abraham. Of course, God is big enough. He can just distribute the land. He can do it any way that he chooses, but he does it through the actions of one who followed him, who wholly followed him, and one who was more courageous because of it. Caleb is courageous and bold because he follows the Lord completely. And that's an important thing. He's a picture for us of our great warrior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's also given to us to show us the boldness of people who have the Lord as their great confidence. Those who know that when I deal with those who oppose the Word of God and who oppose me because I'm a believer, I have the Lord on my side. And Caleb is showing us that. The history of redemption is showing us that. And we're learning about the fact that the character of someone who follows the Lord is infectious. He's able to pass on that confidence to others. Because now they're at the point where they don't have people who are naysayers. They have people who say, well, it's been done. Here we are. This is amazing. But Caleb knew it 45 years ago. It's just that it took that long for God to work with all of the other people to bring them along. So Caleb, in wholly following the Lord, in following the pattern that was laid out from the promise of Abraham to the conquest of the land, is someone who understands the stream of history. God is in control of this, and he's known it from the beginning. Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance. He heard the word of God through Moses. He heard the promise that was given. He wasn't there when Abraham heard the promise. He heard it through Moses. But Caleb listened, and Caleb took it in. And this is the word of God. And he believed it. And Caleb said that it would is repeating what Moses said, that this land will be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. There it is. Obedience that obviously points forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. Caleb is not the sole conqueror of the land, but he's one who follows the Lord, one who is led by the Lord. And so the Lord kept him alive. He's kept his strength. And then he says in verse 12, 85 years old, give me this mountain. Whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, the giants, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Remember the courage of David when he faced Goliath? It was because of the Lord. It was because the Lord was with him. That's why David had courage against the Philistine. So Caleb has this same courage, and he's got this relationship with Joshua, who's the successor to Moses. Joshua blesses him and gives unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Notice something very significant. People of God are receiving their land by lot, but Caleb requests his land. Joshua gets the opportunity to request his land in chapter 19. These two were the ones who went into the land, spied it out, and said, we can certainly take this land. And they have the opportunity to request their land. The only one. That's an important thing. It's an important thing that we recognize that God has raised up these warriors, these men who, even in their later years, are beginning to demonstrate that they are waiting on the Lord and he's renewing their strength. They're mounting up with wings like eagles. They're ready to fight against the giants of the land. Very tall people. Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Notice how many times it says that. He wholly followed the Lord. The strength comes from the Lord, but his entire heart was following the Lord. He was following the Lord completely. That's important. Not that Caleb is designed to show you something that you can possibly attain by yourself, but because Caleb is showing you the work of one who receives their strength from the living God. And you have one who gives you that same strength, that same confidence. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the great chapter that's given to us concerning the wonder of that great event and what that means for the cosmos and for our new bodies, at the very end of 1 Corinthians 15, we read, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Caleb becomes a picture of the one who was following his Father in heaven, who delighted to do the Father's will, the Lord Jesus Christ. But Caleb himself is given boldness, strength over the years. And again we find that Caleb is wholly devoted to the Lord. That's an important thing for us to recognize, because this is the means by which the land is won. It's not only that God is able to cause walls to fall down and he's causing rivers to part. It's that he works in these men and he brings about a devotion to himself. It's a startling and amazing thing. And it's something that is designed to give us great confidence. And then we read in verse 15, again, the land had rest from war. Now we read about the distribution of the land. It goes into great detail. It was a lot of territory, but the tribe of Judah appears again and again in the history of redemption. The tribe of Judah. I've heard of them before. Maybe in the book of Ruth. I've heard of them. The tribe of Judah. Many, many times. Very significant. Look at how many verses are devoted to the tribe of Judah in chapter 15. God is about to do something through that tribe. Pay attention, because the distribution of the land that is given to them is designed to show you the weight of the tribe of Judah in the history of redemption. But even in this chapter, by the time we get to verse 63, we read that the children of Judah could not drive out the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. There's work to be done. There's work to be done. And that's why it's important that we see this testimony concerning Caleb. Because it's going to be a period of time in which the people of God are going to continue to be the means by which God drives out the people of the land. They have conquered the land enough to distribute it, but it is going to be an ongoing experience in the land. By the time we get to the book of Judges, they really needed to listen to Caleb. They really needed to follow the pattern that Caleb lays out for them. And that's why we have this extended section devoted to Caleb and showing us the significance of the tribe of Judah. Because God has something bigger in mind. I thought the land was it. I thought that was the promise given to Abraham. We get to the New Testament. And in the book of Galatians, we find that the promise given to Abraham was fulfilled in the Holy Spirit. God has something bigger. You might think that he's down in the details. Why is he giving us all of this detail about these portions of land? I don't even know the names of the people or the sections of land that are there. What's going on here? Is he just micromanaging everything? God, every time he's working on the small level, he's also working on the big level. And he's accomplishing something bigger than the people of Caleb's day knew. Even Caleb, who wholly followed the Lord, did not see everything that God was about to do through that tribe of Judah. And some amazing things happened as a result of the way in which God gave this boldness to Caleb. We'll just mention one more this evening before we close. If you look at chapter 15 and verse 13, you find out that Caleb gave a part among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord, and he drove out the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ashim, and Talmai. And then Caleb says, the person who takes Kirjath Sefer, verse 16, I will give my daughter to wife. And Othniel does it. And Othniel has given his daughter to wife. And yet, she is the one, Aksa, who asks for more land. And that request is granted. Caleb's daughter asking for land. Caleb asking for land. Everyone else receiving it by lot or by gift from someone else. And she receives it as a gift. She's not taking the land, but she's requesting it. And the freedom of the children of God that will be demonstrated when that promise to Abraham includes the Holy Spirit is shown to us in quite dim shadows here. But we see something quite significant. Don't forget about that tribe of Judah. It's like a sleeping lion in the weeds. Lions sleep for a long time, 20 hours a day. But when they're not sleeping, they're very active. What will happen through this tribe?